Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Marquise says that this is a NFL Films theme song. It sounds like a theme song from like a 1980s drama where like a guy is swinging through the jungle on a rope.
Man, it says American Holiday, music from NFL Films, and it's got Lawrence Taylor on the picture.
Very strange.
Yeah, I love it.
Very strange. So we'll get to a D-Mace dissection in just a second. Of course, National Signing Day yesterday, technically through today and tomorrow. The Tennessee Volunteers jumped five spots from 20 to 15, now is top 15 class. Alabama sits at number one in the SEC and number two overall. Still a lot of meat left on the bone for a lot of these teams, as the official end of the signing period won't go until actually February, when they have the second National Signing Day, or I guess the late period. I guess yesterday was the National Signing Day, and a little bit later on. Preds back on the ice tonight against Ottawa, of course, in that Eastern Conference swing that they have. If they can get a win tonight and pick up 2 points tonight, that gives them 6 out of 8 already in the bank, in the can, before they even play Boston on Saturday, which is arguably one of the best teams, if not the best team in the NHL. So you're giving yourself some wiggle room against the Boston Bruins, which, again, I'm not suggesting you don't have to win every game or whatever. I just, you tell me you get 6 out of 8 on a road trip, I'm saying, hell yeah, sign me up. So Preds back on the ice again. We'll see if they can maintain some of that momentum after a quick one day off. And they're at Ottawa. Of course, Kyle Turris played there for most of his career. So we'll see what takes place tonight. Very, very interesting stuff. We'll talk to Dan Muse, I believe, coming up. Coffee with the Coach in just a few minutes as well. It is time, however, because that music apparently was NFL Films music, for a D-Mace dissection.
Are we going to play the music?
You going to play some more music?
I'm just going to get...
I think you're just going, Derek.
Yeah. Oh, okay. The first play we're going to go with...
Oh, right. There we go.
First play we're going to go with, it's 2nd and 8. And this was a big play. A big play in the game. 2nd and 8 at the Tennessee's 3-yard line. We all remember this play. 3-yard line. It was reminiscent of... a few weeks ago. Well, yeah, 2 weeks ago when they were at the 4-yard line or the 6-yard line, when Ryan Tannehill dropped back and connected with one A.J. Brown for a 91-yard touchdown. Again, was it 91? Yeah.
91. Longest touchdown pass in Titans history.
91-yard touchdown. Well, here we go again. Deja vu. Will it happen again?
Well, he got tackled this time.
Yeah. Here's the thing. They are in just flat out. They're just in two tights, two wide receivers, one back in the backfield. All go. Ryan Tannehill. This is because in this situation, the quarterback has to be aware of a few things here. He has to be aware of the blitz because they're so close to the to the end zone. That's one. He has to be aware of not holding on to the ball too long, because when you hold on to the ball too long, you tend to get a holding call. And if you get a holding call within the inside the end zone, what is that? A safety. So you got to be aware of, one, the blitz, and then, two, holding on to the football far too long, trying to make a play happen or waiting on a play to happen, and then causing yourself to be sacked in the end zone or getting a holding call, and that's an automatic 2 points. Ryan Tannehill takes the snap, 5-step drop, and just launches it. Flat out go route to A.J. Brown. And this is what I just don't get. Why would you, as the Houston Texans, put Jonathan Joseph on their best wide receiver? Jonathan Joseph, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, was a damn good player. He could run. Now he's an okay player. They can't run. They put him press man-to-man on A.J. Brown. He didn't touch A.J. Brown, and A.J. Brown streaked down the sideline. Here's a great job about this ball. Ryan Tannehill put it right over the right shoulder where only A.J. Brown can get it. And then he left him enough room so that if he did have to fade away just a little bit, he wouldn't catch the ball out of bounds. A.J. Brown caught the ball, streaking down the sideline, was able to keep himself in bounds at least for 3 or 4 yards, and then he ultimately got pushed out by Jonathan Joseph. This was great execution by the offensive line, at least the left side of the offensive line, because the right side of the offensive line with Conklin, they got some pressure. But Ryan Tannehill was able to step up, deliver the ball. Perfect strike down the field. He took full advantage. He saw the coverage, which was press man-to-man, and he took advantage to it. He knew where he was going. He was decisive and gave A.J. Brown an opportunity to catch the football. So that's the first play.
Now, obviously, A.J. Brown, that, I don't know, you can maybe explain how difficult that catch is to be over your shoulder like that, where there is a blind spot, right?
Yes.
Because your helmet essentially is blocking your view when you have to look that, when you have to crane your neck that far back. So the throw has to be near perfect, and the receiver has to trust his hands to some extent. And like you said, the protection has to be there. The play action, it's remarkable how well the play action has worked. Now, yes. And that stems from Derrick Henry.
No, it does. You have to honor the Titans' ability to run the football with Derrick Henry. Even with a 75 or 80% Derrick Henry, you still have to honor the fact that on first and 10, ball at the 3-yard line, that they're going to give the ball to Derrick Henry at least to try to get a couple of yards. So right. They had to honor it. That's why they would press man-to-man, because they wanted to put that extra guy in the box.
Which is also, and I don't know if, hopefully you're not about to do this play, but it's also why they ran play action on first and goal from the 5 and threw it to Firkser.
Yes.
And I've heard a lot of people complaining about that call, and I still do not understand why you complain about that call, because it worked to perfection. Another guy just made a great play, and then another guy happened to be just standing where he needed to be standing. Otherwise, it's an incompletion. And everyone on the team executed basically 99% of that play, but it's because everyone's expecting a handoff to Derrick Henry on first and 5 that the play almost worked.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. You have to, the way the Tennessee Titans have been running a football, you, on every play, I don't care if it's first and 25 because they got a few penalties, you still got to honor Derrick Henry. I don't care what down and distance it is, you have to be aware of Derrick Henry. Why you think Ryan Tannehill was able to walk in on that fourth down
Bingo.
Play? You know, because they had to honor Derrick Henry. And he walked in, Scott. I mean, didn't nobody touch him.
Ballsy call.
Exactly.
Too, on fourth
didn't
down.
Nobody touch him. Why? Because they had to honor the fact. Yep. They had to be aware that Derrick Henry was possibly going. There was a 99.9% chance Derrick Henry was going to get the football. Well, Derrick Henry didn't get it. And Ryan Tannehill walks in scot-free for a touchdown. Second play, it is third and 13 at the Tennessee 21-yard line. Now, the Titans have been a good third down team. They hadn't been great. They hadn't been bad. They have been a good third down team. Why? Because they've kept it in third and manageable. We talked about this a lot. Third and 2, third and 3, third and 5, third and 7. Those are manageable third downs. When you get into third and 9, third and 10, third and 12 plus, then there's only so many plays I can call right. to try to pick up the first down. But the Tennessee Titans, on this particular play, they were third and 13. They're not good when it's third and 13. Not many teams are good at converting third and 13s. But this was an excellent play call by one Arthur Smith. He went twins left, empty, which means there's no back in the backfield. Then he went curls on both sides with a stem at the top of the route. When I say stem, Corey Davis and A.J. Brown ran a curl route, but at 10 to 12, at around 10 yards, they ran it as if they were running a post to get the defensive back to open his hips and think they were going deep, because it's third and 13. Now, the Titans have beaten them on go routes. The Titans beat other teams on post routes, skinny routes. So they had to honor the fact that Corey Davis had the potential to go deep. Well, Corey Davis ran an excellent route. He hit the curl, hit the post. The guy opened up. He turned him around and Ryan Tannehill delivered a perfect pass. This is why it was a perfect pass, people. Because if you're looking at your, you know, you're looking at your radio, the Titans were going from left to right. Okay, on your radio dial, or you, if you're
on your cell phone dial,
whatever. So they were on the left hash. Ryan Tannehill, what he did that was so perfect on this particular pass is that when Corey Davis went to the post and Corey Davis turned around to get the ball wasn't on his left shoulder. The ball wasn't inside. You know why? Because the defensive back was inside. He put the ball on his right shoulder. Why? Because then he can get the ball and turn and run. We're always taught, quarterbacks are always taught, put it on the shoulder where he can turn and go. Don't put it on the shoulder of the side of the defensive back. Put it on the shoulder opposite of the defensive back so he can turn and go. Ryan Tannehill put it on Corey Davis's right shoulder. Corey Davis turned and he went. He got a couple extra yards. So they were able to convert to 3rd and 13. Corey Davis is really good, and this is what he doesn't, you know, he doesn't get enough, he doesn't get enough hand claps, or he doesn't get enough
snaps.
Yes, little snaps or whatever. He doesn't get congratulated enough on his run after the catch ability. He's not fast. He's not he's not quick as a cat, but he's hard to bring down.
He's got some bursts.
Yeah, he has a burst, yeah. But it's
not Jonnu Smith burst.
But he's hard to bring down. When that big fella catches the ball and get upfield at 6'3", it's hard to bring him down. So that was a great call by Arthur Smith. Ryan Tannehill read the coverage, and I'm surprised that they were able to pick this up. Why? Because there's no back in the backfield. There's no way to honor Derek. You didn't have to honor the back in the backfield. So why was he allowed to hit a 13-yard route in between the corner and the linebackers? I hit you with the third play in my last play after the break.
There you go.
It's a doozy.
Well, ooh, a doozy. Mm. A D-Mace dissection doozy when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Morning Drive, Derek Mason, Braden Gall. And if you miss any of the dissection or any other part of the show, we've moved our on-demand audio to Apple and Spotify. Search Morning Drive in Apple or Spotify, or log on to thegamenashville.com to find our daily audio, rate, review, and subscribe today. We do the dissection each and every week. And, of course, Derek, you've got one more play for us. So, again, if you missed last segment, just pop on the old Apple or Spotify and search Morning Drive.
Absolutely. First and foremost, I want to say hello to Baby L. She's off. She's going away for Christmas. You know, so I wanted to say, you know, Merry Christmas to her, because I won't see, you know, that's my really good friend Emily's daughter.
Okay.
So I just wanted to say that because she's in the car right now.
Okay.
And she's listening because they always listen. So they are avid listeners.
Is this the Kentucky fan?
Yeah, Kentucky fan. Even though Kentucky lost yesterday, sorry, Emily.
Who'd they lose to?
Utah.
Go Utes.
They lost to Utah. Calipari hair was messed up, so
it's all right. ETSU, baby. Yeah. They beat LSU. So
there we go.
ETSU.
No doubt.
Go so, Bucks.
Merry Christmas to her, because I won't get a chance to see her on Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
So the last play, it's going into the last drive of the game. They're moving the ball methodically down the field. They need to score in this situation to even give themselves an opportunity to tied up with a potential field goal if they get the onside kick. We know what happened with the onside kick. They were not able to get it. But this play, we're going to call double right open, which means the tight end is flexed out. We got Deion Lewis in the backfield. We got three wides, one tight. Obviously, the tight end is Jonnu Smith because his ability to stretch the field from the tight end position. So we got stops on the outside, 9 stops, and we got seams by the inside guy, Jonnu Smith. And I believe that's Sharp in the inside. A.J. Brown and Corey Davis are on the outside. He takes the snap. He surveys the field. They're in this funky cover two, quarter half type of defense. The linebackers are not honoring the run because they don't need to, because the Titans need to score. They can't afford to give the ball to Deion Lewis to get, 5 yards, get tackled.
Right.
They have no timeouts.
Right.
So the defense is sort of at a – They are not sort of. They are at an advantage when you're in two-minute offense with no timeout and you got to score and there's no threat of a run because Derrick Henry, one's not in the game, two, because you're not going to run in that situation being on your own on your side of the field. Ryan Tannehill surveys the field. What he does first is he looks off the deep safety. Does a great job at looking off the deep safety because he knows, judging by the coverage, he knows where he's going. He know where he's going to go. He knows that he's going to hit one of these seam routes because those are the routes that are going to pick up chunk plays. And then you can get on the ball very quickly. They can spot it very quickly, and you can go from there. Jonnu Smith runs an excellent route. What I mean by an excellent route, he gets around the linebacker. And not only does he get around the linebacker, he then finds the hole in the zone coverage. He finds the hole quickly in the zone coverage, and he settles. He doesn't run through the hole. This is what we talk about a lot as receivers in our room. Do not run through the hole. See the hole, throttle down, don't stop. Throttle down, and a quarterback can hit you in the hole that is there in the defense. In every defense, there's a throwing spot in that defense. You just have to find it as a quarterback.
Right.
And as a receiver, you have to see it. Well, Jonnu Smith read it perfectly, too. Did a good job at dipping that shoulder, getting around that linebacker, and finding a hole in that quarter half coverage of defense. Ryan Tannehill drops back. He drills that ball in there. He doesn't float it in there. He throws it to him. This is a situation where you got to throw it to the man. You can't throw the man open, because if you throw the man open, then you give that middle linebacker an opportunity to catch the ball. You get a linebacker an opportunity that if Jonnu Smith does catch it, he gets a hit on him, and then he could draw the ball loose. He drills it in there right on Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith picks up 23 yards on a critical play in that game, because they needed that chunk play in order to continue to move down. And ultimately, Titans score on that possession and then try an onside kick, but they don't get it.
I feel like, excellent breakdown, sir.
Thank you.
I feel like Jonnu Smith needs to be incorporated more intentionally into the offense. The pitch sweep to Jonnu Smith was one of one of my favorite plays that I've ever seen at Nissan Stadium. Just because, like, we know Derrick Henry's a special athlete. Mm-hmm. Jonnu Smith's not. I'd like to see them in a foot race. Jonnu Smith's first three steps might be faster than Derrick Henry.
Jonnu is more.
Derrick might get there eventually, but yeah, I think Jonnu's first two steps are faster.
Jonnu's more athletic than Derrick Henry is.
The explosiveness.
Yes, I think he can. He has more. His hips are more wiggly, so to speak. I mean, coaches and players say
he did a little jiggle there in the chair.
Weird things about players, but he has a little bit more wiggle to his hips than Derrick Henry does.
Yeah,
and you get it. You know
coming
why?
Off, yeah. Coming off signing day, where I used to work at a recruiting company, where they would just talk about like the verbiage that we would use to describe athletes' bodies. Uh-huh. He's got a V-shaped torso, and like you're just like, what?
Like, oh, okay.
I remember one guy, and I can't remember who it was that I was working with. He was one of these Mike Farrell, Barton Simmons kind of scouts guys that works for one of these companies. I think they called one of the players a flesh bomb.
Wow.
He was like a linebacker, you know, and when he comes on the blitz, he's a flesh bomb.
It's good. It's a good analogy, I guess.
A tremendous lower body.
Like a flesh bomb, like you're just
a human bomb.
Yeah, and when you hit him, it's just boom. Yes. But Jonnu Smith is.
Because you got to come up with these millions of different ways to talk about these players. He's a twitchy athlete with an explosive first step, and to me, runs violently and runs with his weight. A.J. Brown runs with his weight.
He run behind his pads, however you're going to say it, runs behind his pads. He's an explosive runner. He's a violent runner, physical runner. That's who Jonnu Smith is.
Don't they need to focus on getting in the ball more?
I think they do, but I think they will, as the season ends this year and then next year, because he has proven that, he's the heir apparent to Delanie Walker. Because, sad to say, and we'll get into this conversation, obviously, as the season ends and whether they make it to the playoffs or not, we are going to have this conversation anyway. Guys that won't be back next year. But he's proven that he is the heir apparent to Delanie Walker, who, for all intents and purposes, won't be here.
It's not heir. It's his.
Yeah, it's his. It's his to lose.
I mean, I don't know why it wouldn't be. At this point, he's taken over, and he's a knock on Delanie.
He's gotten better as a blocker, We know he can do it a pass game.
Still has an occasional holding penalty you'd like to see him eliminate, but otherwise I think he's developed really nicely into a playmaker for them and is a dynamic weapon. I mean, when he gets the ball in his hands, I'm kind of going like, ah!
You see
a defender try to tackle him at the knees, and you're just like, dude, you're about to take a kneecap to the helmet. Get out of the way.
He reminds me, he's a Shannon Sharp type of player. Physical, chiseled, violent runner. He's probably faster than Shannon Sharp was. But I think those two guys, if you watch those two guys play, I think they kind of mirror one another because Shannon Sharp was a receiver. I think Janu played some receiver too in his day. These guys play like receivers, but but they're tight ends.
Yep. Preds back on the ice tonight against the Ottawa Senators. So we will talk with Dan Muse. Coffee with the Coach coming up in just a few minutes. But I want to remind you guys about my wonderful friends at Xfinity. We made the switch a couple of years ago. Could not have been easier. Could not have been smoother. They've added so much more to my entertainment and household needs than I ever could have possibly imagined. And that's why you make the switch to Xfinity and you don't use the other guys anymore. Not only do they handle all your TV needs, we know how good they are at all that stuff. The X1 voice remote, the DVR system where you can pause the game in one room and go into the other room and pick it up right where you left off. You know, 8 different channel guides, 10, your last button on Saturdays when you're watching football games, you know that last button on other remotes that only gives you one option? Xfinity gives you 8, 10 options. It's fantastic. But really, we added a home security system. When we moved to Xfinity, we added the home security system because we knew they would take care of our home, give us peace of mind. The Xfinity home app on the phone, spectacular. Real and spectacular. You know, I can look down. I can be like, oh, my wife just left the house. She's got the kids. She's busy. She's trying to get to her job. And I can go in the middle of this show, right now during this commercial break, or during this ad read here, and punch up the app and set the alarm on my house. Just like that. Boom. House is secure. Peace of mind. Check in on my cameras. Make sure the dog's not doing anything stupid. Turn on the lights if you got the smart home attached to your Xfinity home app. All that good stuff. You go on vacation. You could be in Europe. You could be thousands of miles. You could be in a different continent. And you can be like, forgot to set the alarm. Pop on that app. Couple of tap, tap, taps. And all of a sudden your house is secure. And you can check the cameras. You can make sure the lights are on. You can turn the lights on and off at night when you're gone. It is real and spectacular. Check it out. The Xfinity security system, the Xfinity home app, all works together with your Wi-Fi and, of course, your mobile and, of course, your TV. All the great stuff your complete home entertainment needs. Xfinity. Simple, easy, and awesome. Check them out. 1-800-XFINITY, Xfinity.com, or pop into an Xfinity store today for more details. I'm interested when you see a team start to snowball with offensive momentum like you guys did on Tuesday night against the Islanders. You're down 3-1. Forsberg comes back and makes a huge play on the power play to get you guys to 3-2. And then it starts to snowball. Is there any way as a coaching staff that you guys can capture whatever it is that happened in that moment and try to recreate it? Or do you just say, you know what, it was fluky, we enjoyed it, let's move on to the next game?
Well, I think that obviously, that was a huge goal. We let up a shorthanded goal previously to that. And, you're down 3-1 in a tough building. And I thought it was, obviously a huge goal. You look back at that game, that was a turning point for us to get ourselves back into it 24 seconds later, obviously. So I think then getting those quick goals and obviously Rocco's goal at the less than a minute to go in the period, really solidified things. And I think we just carried that into the rest of the game after that. But I just like the resiliency the guys had. They didn't sit back and feel sorry for themselves. They went out and made a difference. So that was a huge confidence builder, I think, for everybody.
Now, Coach, we've talked about a little confidence and momentum for a team, and not many people believe you can take momentum from game to game or period to period. But do you believe after having the outburst in the second period and then having another one in the third period, it was just sort of momentum for you guys? Because you're down 3-1, I believe, entering in the second period, and then all of a sudden you guys just start clicking on all cylinders and it kind of bleeds over into the next period.
Well, definitely. I think momentum for me is in game. Like it's once that game is over, like you said, now we got Ottawa tonight, and I don't believe that momentum carries into the next game. I think you have to prepare and focus the right way the next day, and then build your own momentum. And I think the biggest thing for us right now is we got to be more concerned about us and how we play, and how the opposition that we're playing against plays, and just focus on that.
Coach, you look at this team, and obviously you're out Arvidsson, and you need the big guys, the big guns to continue to play well. you know, Yosi and Ellis have always been there for you guys. They are achieving at a point offensive production level that is outstanding. What has been the difference in their game? And is this finally, I hate to ask this because I know you're going to give me a stock answer, but is this the year finally that maybe the rest of the hockey world acknowledges Roman Yossi's accomplishment with sort of the Norris Trophy conversation?
No, I agree with you 100%. You know, Yossi has always been a name that's been in the background. And, you know, a lot of people, he's going to be one of those guys that they always add on as a Norris Trophy favorite. But if you look at the minutes he's played, what he's done for our team, not just in points, but what he does with and without the puck, I think that he's up there with any defenseman in the league right now as far as being the most valuable player on his team.
Now, how important is it this stretch run you have? You know, obviously, it's well documented what happened the first quarter of the season, but this is a long season for you guys. But how important is it for the guys that the secondary scorers and everyone else to continue to you know, elevate their game? Because you know those frontliners are going to do what they need to do, but it's the back end that needs to continue to elevate their game if you guys want to continue to chip away at sort of this hole that you dug yourself in early in the season.
Well, I think if you look at our team as a whole from the start of the season, our secondary scoring has been one of the major factors in why we won games. You know, mm-hmm. Our top line guys have struggled if you look at it from a goal scoring standpoint. So, like you said, I think our secondary guys have to continue at the pace that they're at, and then we need our big guys, like you said, to come up big and score those goals that you know that they're capable of scoring. And I think that we're hoping that guys like Craig Smith last game scoring two goals and Phillip scoring a power play goal, or you know, since anything else, you know, you get that extra confidence when you score, and hopefully that can carry on. And I think right now, with even with the injuries to Granlund and Arvidsson up front, I think that we've Blackwell has come up and Trenin has come up, and that is a lot of physicality and enthusiasm to our lineup, and they filled some holes that needed to be filled.
Predators coach Kevin McCarthy joining us here on Morning Drive. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, and the Preds are back on the ice tonight against Ottawa. And Nick Bonino called it sort of a season-defining week for you guys, and not in a way to sort of call out players or call out teammates. It wasn't like that at all. It was just sort of a matter of fact, hey, this is a critical week for us. What does a road trip where you're all together like this, and we've talked about this before, where all the guys are together, you're sort of forced into bonding together, you're facing some adversity, and you come out and you win the first two games. What can a season-defining week like this do if you walk away with 6 or 7 or even 8 points in a week where you're playing away from home every single night, and you have to pack a bunch of games in? Just sort of from a psychology standpoint, take us through what that can do for a team's locker room health.
Well, I know obviously after our last home game, you know, there was a lot of soul searching going on, you know, with the team, and we talked about the road trip coming up and how it was going to be a situation where, you know, where we were in the standings, how important it was, and you know, we had to take it obviously one game at a time, but we knew that this was going to be a defining moment for our club as far as going forward. And like you said, I think, you know, especially when you win those first two games of a four-game trip, you know, the confidence level is high right now. The guys are, like you said, there's no distractions. You're on the road together. And, you know, I think you play in 4 games in 6 nights. So the focus level is sometimes easier when you're on the road. You don't have the distractions that you have at home. So I think in some cases it's a good thing. So, you know, the guys had a good day off yesterday. We came to the rink and we had an off-ice workout, but got everybody together, and you could just feel the way the guys were, the way they were with each other. It was really a positive day yesterday, and we'll carry that into today.
Kevin McCarthy joining us here from the Nashville Predators. And, you know, obviously when you play home and home, you go with each of the goaltenders, and Saros plays really well on Monday night, and Pekka comes back and plays well on Tuesday. You guys have a great problem here when you have two good goaltenders that you could play on any given night and feel comfortable getting a W with both of those guys. But there does have to be some semblance of a plan in place. So how do you guys as a staff go about establishing what the plan needs to look like? Because there's no real need to decide on anything right now today, correct? But by the time you get to March, don't you want to have some semblance of a pecking order established?
Well, yeah, definitely. I think, you know, you go into a season with a plan, like, you know, like everybody does. And it's everybody, everybody has, like the old Mike Tyson line, everybody has a plan until they get hit, you know. And so right now, like, you know, we know that you know, both goalies are capable of playing and winning games for us. And I know that we rely a lot on our goalie coach Ben Vanderklok, because he has a really good feel for, he works with these guys on a daily basis and talks to them on a daily basis. So his input is very valuable for Lavi. And basically, it's like you said, it's a long season. You want to make sure you're putting guys in position to be successful, but at the same time, you got to make sure that you don't get burnt out.
Coach, always a pleasure. We do appreciate it, and obviously it's been a long road trip for you guys, but you're back home soon, and so far very successful. Best of luck tonight against Ottawa.
Thanks, appreciate it, guys.
Absolutely. Kevin McCarthy there from the Nashville Predators. I do apologize, misread the information there. So listen, back on the ice, this goaltender thing is fascinating to me.
Uh-huh.
Because, and it's what I like to hear. And we've asked Lavi this, we've asked every coach this, we've asked Hal Gill and Chris Mason, everybody we've talked to agrees that you need to have a plan. Like, they're open about it. You've got to have the set pecking order, but you don't really need it until March. What you really need is the number one guy going into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And even then, you still feel good about who your backup's going to be. But, like, who cares right now? Again, I think this is, to me, as if I'm a fan watching this, I feel comfortable with either guy going out there and playing extremely well on any given night. UC Saros or Pecorino, I don't think you need to know right now who's best. If one guy's hotter than the other guy, you put him out there.
Yeah.
And that's it. I don't think you need to know. Like, I think fans want to know, but the coaching staff, the team, they don't need to know until really the end of March, you know, middle of April.
I think you want to have a sense of who's going to be the guy. But here's the deal. They can go with either guy and I believe still be successful.
Sure.
So like you said, that's a good problem to have on his team. So if they choose to go with, you know, UC Saros toward the end, okay. If they choose to go with Pekka, then okay. But I think they feel as a team that's the least of our problems. Now, Pekka has shown that in the playoffs.
Yeah, I knew you were going to bring that
up. His play tends to dip.
Well,
I think that's where it's going to get a little sticky.
And
for them.
And the good thing for the coaching staff, they don't have to worry about like the fans do.
Exactly,
the fans have loyalty.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't mean they don't love UC Saros. They do.
I just think they're loyal to Pekka.
But you will always be loyal to Pekka because he's been here and he's the guy for so long. He's the greatest player in franchise history, mm-hmm. probably right now, today.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to ask fans to say, hey, you know what? This might not be the best way for us to win games, but you know what? He's still an extremely valuable member of the team, and we're going to need him really desperately throughout this entire season, but probably in the playoffs maybe at some point as well. It's just hard to ask fans to watch their guy, the guy who represents the franchise, who takes the tough questions from the media, who answers everything with perfect poise, mm-hmm. and conviction and thoughtfulness, be on the bench and be the best player. Like, it's just going to be hard to deal with if that happens. But that's a fan thing, and you better get over that, because the coaching staff doesn't think that way at all. The coaching staff looks at it and goes, who gives us the best chance to win tonight? Who is going to go out there and play the best against this team? Who matches up well against that group of players on the other side of the ice, whoever that may be? And there's a chance it's UC Saros.
Yeah.
And so fans need to be prepared for it. I think the coaching staff is totally prepared for it. The players, they don't care. Either guy, they trust. The fans might not be ready for a Pecorino on the bench. Now, it may also be Pecorino's playing his best hockey and he ends up competing for another Vezina and is the starter going into the playoffs, and this isn't even a conversation.
Who knows?
But we will find out. We got a lot of games to go before we get there. Back on the ice tonight, 5:30 pregame, puck drop at 6:30 against the Ottawa Senators. One more thing has to continue for this team to win tonight. We'll explain when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
And you know what else we can find out about, man? We can find out how healthy we are, or we can find out whether, you know, our cognitive functions are there. We can find out a lot of things. But the only way you can find this out, no, not going to Wikipedia, it's going to the good folks over there at Cool Springs MD. And over the years, more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife, Daphne, along with that wonderful and experienced staff, give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of Brentwood, Franklin, Nashville, and the surrounding area in Tennessee with improving their immune systems, energy levels, cognitive functions, and more. This is the season where people get sick. Men, when we get sick, we act like big babies. So let's not get sick. And the only way we can avoid the sickness, stay ahead of it, be proactive instead of reactive, we got to go see the good folks at Cool Springs MD. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. And there's no better time to achieve a healthy lifestyle than now. What are you waiting on? Don't wait tomorrow. Do it today. Here's the phone number. Call Cool Springs MD and make your appointment, man. Or if, man, you can't make it and you're busy, please ask the missus to make it for you. Beg and plead. Or missus, if your husband's not listening to this, which he should be, then you make it for him. Here's the number. 615-486-3458. 615-486-3458. Or visit the website, CoolSpringsMD.com. Mm.
You are listening to Morning Drive live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It is like coaches and players don't look at it this way, nor should they. But am I allowed to look at something this way, Derek? You're a former athlete. You probably didn't look at it this way either. Mm-hmm. But I look at it as, if you get 2 points tonight and you can beat Ottawa, it almost doesn't matter what happens against Boston on Saturday. Boston's one of the best teams in the league. I feel like you've given yourself house money on a 4-game road trip, four games in 6 days. If you pick up six out of 6 points and you can beat Ottawa tonight, whether it's secondary scoring or the big names continuing to sort of improve, Forsberg, Duchesne, Johansson, mm-hmm. I know that's not the way athletes look at it, right? I know that you don't look at it like, oh, well, if we win tonight, we don't have to worry about Saturday. Of course, that's not the way the coaches and the players look like.
No.
I'm not suggesting that. But as a fan, if you told me they were going to get 6 out of 8 on a 4-game road trip in 6 days, I would say, sign me up. Give it
well,
to me.
Considering what this team has,
yes.
What this team was and what they're trying to accomplish, then, yeah, 6 out of 8 points. I mean, obviously you want all 8, but 6 out of 8 points is not shabby at all.
It's great.
It's great. So I think
fans, for a team that was in 12th place.
Yeah, I think fans would be ecstatic if you can come out of this month with, you know, to finish the month 6 out of 8 points. I mean, who wouldn't? I think the players would be excited. Again, I know that you want all 8 points, but to be on the plus side of things is always a plus, to be on the plus side of things.
I see what you did there. My mind's not blown by that one.
Your mind's not blown
by that one? No. It was solid. I'll give it like a B plus.
Okay. I take a B plus. I mean, yeah.
The other thing I'd like to see tonight, and I do want to see, obviously Kyle Turris returning back to his old stomping grounds is something to keep an eye on as a storyline. The defense corps has been so good recently, scoring goals and creating offense. I that's not necessarily a way you want to live every single night in the NHL. So I'd like to see, you know, Johansson got on the board, but it was late in that game after it was sort of blown open. Forsberg's goal was monstrous, as you heard Coach say there, down 3-2 or down 3-1 on a power play, giving up a shorthanded goal. He comes back and makes a huge play to give them to cut the lead to 1. You know, Craig Smith had a couple of goals. Like, I want to see some of these trends become, or if they're not trends, I want to see them become trends. I want to see Craig Smith start to score more goals and create more offense. You want to see the big names, Duchesne, Johansson, and Forsberg, while Victor Arvidsson is out. Mm-hmm. You need the three guys that make a combined $22 million a year. You need those three guys to start carrying this team. And they made big plays against the Islanders, against a really good team on the road on Tuesday night, against them not nearly as good a team, Ottawa. I want the big dogs to continue, and I'm not going to say what is said in the afternoon. I'm not going to talk about dogs eating things. But I want the big guys, the big guns, to make plays tonight. And if you can collect 6 points in the first three games of the road trip, you set yourself up with all house money against Boston over the weekend.
Yeah, you do. I just think you want to end the month on a good note. And, you know, you want to be playing some of your best hockey headed into the new year. Because I firmly believe that how you end the year is how you're going to start the year, especially in regards to the Preds and their play. I think that if they end the year on a high note, you go into the year confident that you're going to continue to ride this wave. Now, things are not going to be peachy creamy, but you have a sense of confidence headed into the January 1st game, I believe, against the Dallas Stars, the Winter Classic, which I'm looking forward to.
Oh, can't wait.
And I know a lot of other people are making a trek down to Dallas, over and down to Dallas, to see that game in person. But you just want to end the year on a positive note. you know, and sort of dig yourself, start to methodically dig yourself out of this hole. And that's all it's about, you know, because once you've put yourself in the hole, you can't all of a sudden just, you know, take one of those big dump trucks and just fill a hole back in.
Right.
It doesn't work that way in sports. You got to chip away at it slowly, slowly, put the dirt back in slowly, slowly to where you're on even ground. And then once you're on even ground, it's like, okay, now let's go.
Yeah, after that, so they lost 8 out of 9, and the end of that was, of course, the five power play goals allowed to Vancouver on November 21st. Since that moment, should they win tonight and continue to play well, they would be 8-3-2 over that span, over 13 games since the losing streak. And 8-3-2 over a 13-game span is playing pretty good hockey. So, again, you have to start looking at it in chunks. And so that leads you to Boston, and then you get Arizona at home on Monday night, and then there's the Christmas break, and then you go back-to-back with Pittsburgh. So you almost have to look at it up until the Christmas break, mm-hmm. up through the Arizona game on Monday night. If you're telling me that let's say they beat Ottawa, they beat Arizona, and they lose to Boston, you'd be sitting there at 9-4-2 since the losing streak. I think that's good hockey.
Mm-hmm.
I think you would take 9-4-2 over that stretch of time the rest of the way, and you probably make the playoffs pretty easily. So has the ship been righted? We have no idea. We're just taking the season as it comes and looking chunk by chunk. But, you know, when you lose 8 out of 9, you said it, Derek, you dig yourself a giant hole.
Mm-hmm.
And what they've done so far since that moment is very slowly work their way out of that. It doesn't mean there weren't concerns against Dallas and Buffalo, especially in the second period. It doesn't mean there weren't concerns, you know, against Florida. Even a 3-0 win against Carolina on the road wasn't a dominating performance. That was Pekka doing a great job, and then the offense, you know, made some plays. But, you know, you start to look at the overall body of work since the losing streak, and you can say, all right, they've righted the ship, they've dug themselves out of the hole. If they can collect 2 more points tonight, they'll be right there fighting for the final wild card spot, and it gives yourself a chance in the second half of the season. So,
yeah, it does, and that's all you want. Is to give yourself an opportunity to be in the mix of it. So, you know, quickly.
Oh, yeah. What else you got, man?
We need to get to this, and maybe we need a lot more time to kind of discuss it. But Henry Boone passed away at the age of 89.
Well, thank you for stealing my stick to sports, Derek. I appreciate it. I just wanted to mention that.
He coached at E.J. Hayes High School.
He's the character from 99 and 8,
and then he went to T.C. Williams after they got integrated. T.C. Williams High School, and we know, you know,
Denzel Washington's character,
that school just...
In Virginia, right after integration, exactly. A very complicated time, and obviously a fantastic movie.
Absolutely.
One of the best. In fact, I think it's the best football action. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's impossible to recreate what high-level football looks like in real life on film. I don't think you can do it cinematically, but I think that movie did as good a job as making it look real as possible. It's also just a fantastic American story, right?
Exactly.
It's a great story. Also, Hayden Fry passed away yesterday,
Hayden Fry passed away.
Responsible for so many great coaches in the Big uh-huh. Ten and in the Big 12 through the Midwest and Iowa. He was a coach at Iowa for a very long time. I want to say Barry Alvarez coached under him, Brett Bielema. I mean, there's a lot of coaches.
He was
that
there
came
the years I played at State. Right? Didn't they do the movie? Wasn't the coach named Fry, Minnesota State? The movie sitcom they had about the college football coach was in Minnesota State.
It was called Coach.
Wasn't his name Fry? Coach Fry.
I'll get Munson on that. Yeah. I did not. I did watch that show for like a year or two as a kid, but I feel like I grew past that show quickly.
Hmm.
I just never was a huge fan, but it was a good show. Yeah, it was a good show. We'll have Munson look that up for you guys. Mm-hmm. Joe Rexroad, he watched all those shows growing up. We'll talk to Joe Rexroad when we return right here on Morning Drive.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.